Talk to Dad.
Welcome to the Talk to Dad podcast, episode 103. I've got William and Henry here with me.
Hello.
Hello, and it is almost 2-year anniversary.
Yeah, kind of. Next episode we will have been doing this darn podcast for 2 years in a row.
Every single week we've released one.
I love how...
So far.
I love how...
This week's was a little bit slow, and it sounded weird, but I'll talk about that in a minute.
I love how every 50 episodes, and you and Phoebe's trip to Austin, and the anniversary of our podcast kind of all align, and Father's Day.
Yeah, because the very first episode we released was on Father's Day.
Yeah, and also that was in...
Although, weirdly, I don't think the 2-year anniversary will be on a Father's Day. It'll be like the week before Father's Day, I think.
And there's also the fact that...
Maybe even 2 weeks before Father's Day.
And there's also the fact that this podcast, like the idea of it, came up from just you and Phoebe talking in the car on the way to Austin.
Yeah. So, the last podcast, the one that came out just a couple days ago... We released it a few days late because we recorded it on the way down to Austin, and I apologize for all of the road noises that you heard. I tried to cut out as much of the background noise as we could, but it was hard to control when you're on the highway. It was kind of fun doing a podcast on the road, but the thing that I learned is the sound quality really suffers because we don't have microphones, really. We don't have any way to, you know, we record this one at the kitchen table, which is much easier to control sound. Sometimes we still get background sound. But we can control the levels on all of the microphones, the background noises, and it's much, much easier.
Yeah, like background noises like Maisie, which actually don't get...
Sometimes we get Maisie background noises, but that's okay, because Maisie...
Where is Maisie?
...is almost a part of this podcast.
And I imagine editing that wasn't very fun.
It was difficult. I hope it wasn't excruciating for our listeners, the people who did listen to it.
Yeah, editing is kind of a huge pain.
Oh, by the way, I think that Maisie is a part of the podcast since you made her a drop.
Like, I feel like if you're just messing around with effects, then editing can be really fun, but...
I don't actually have a Maisie update. I just thought I'd play part of the drop. So we could show how Maisie is part of this podcast. Few things that have happened. While I was gone... to Austin. You guys went and saw a movie without me. I told you it was okay.
You're so welcome.
It's fine. How did you like Solo?
Okay, first of all, I'd like to say that Solo is a really cool name for a Solo movie.
And please try to avoid spoilers because I may see it someday.
So, Solo, I think, is definitely worth watching. There are... I'll try to express my concern for it without spoiling it.
Where would you rank it in, like, the movies that you've seen? You've seen all the Star Wars movies except for the prequels, right?
Yeah. I'd say...
Where would you rank it among all the movies you've seen? So you've seen the original trilogy, you've seen Rogue One, you've seen Force Awakens, and you've seen Last Jedi, and now you've seen Solo. So among those, how many is that?
I don't really know if it's
six, seven movies?
It's hard for me to say whether it's... better than Rogue One or not, because with both movies, they're just kind of zoned out.
It's actually six movies, by the way, that we've watched. Because
Wait, so...
The original trilogy, Force Awakens, Last Jedi, Rogue One,
and seven. Solo. Seven okay.
Movies, yeah.
Okay. So, Han Solo, the main issue I had with it was... So, after seeing Last Jedi had amazing visuals, and I was one of the people who really liked that movie. The Han Solo movie was really dark, and there's a lot of camera shaking, so it's kind of, like, boring to look at. Which sounds like just a nitpick, but, like...
You didn't like the look of the movie as much as the other Star Wars movies?
Yeah, it had a Western theme, which...
It's actually kind of cool.
Sometimes I actually kind of liked that.
Yeah.
I thought that, like, the last 20 minutes of it were, like, really good, but at times it kind of felt like, I don't know, like an animated movie.
So one thing, this isn't a spoiler, but one thing that I've heard about the movie is that the robot, L337, is like one of the best parts of the movie. Did you like
True.
The robot?
She is. The robots are always really good.
The one thing, when I heard that they have a robot called L337, though, it kind of made me laugh.
Because you're it's like
an elite robot. Yeah.
Was that intentional?
I'm sure it had to be, right?
Yeah.
Did that not occur to you?
No, that didn't. But yeah, the robots.
It's like hacker speak.
Yeah.
I saw a review of it. I saw a How It Should Have Ended review of it. And I said that the droids are kind of stealing the show. Or the shows.
Well, the droid was one of the best things about Rogue One, too, I thought.
I thought Han Solo himself was kind of in the movie.
He's a good actor, though.
I liked how they ended it.
I think that's a really tough role to do because Han Solo is such an iconic thing, and Harrison Ford, everybody really likes him as an actor. So playing like Han Solo and like a young Harrison Ford, that's like really challenging. And I think you're coming under a lot of criticism just to try to do that.
Maybe at least this actor for Han Solo actually likes the character.
Ooh.
Well, I think Harrison Ford's just kind of gotten old and cranky in his old age.
Yeah.
I think he liked the character when he was playing him back in the original movies.
Someone asked
Although you wanted them to die. You wanted Han Solo to die, so instead of the movie, he killed him off.
I get that you might be sick of asking this question, but someone asked on Reddit who shot first, or who, if Han shot first, he just said, don't know, don't care. And he, like,
yeah,
he was...
Yeah, he doesn't care as much as the fans do about that question.
He was really happy when Han Solo died.
Well, yeah, because in The Return of the Jedi, he wanted the character to die.
He's a good actor, though. He's done a lot of good,
he's a really good
impressive
actor.
Stuff.
But you thought that the guy who played him in Solo did a pretty good job?
He did a good job. I just didn't really like him as a character, though. The actor for Lando was really good.
Yeah. Donald Glover, he's a really good actor.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have seen any of Community, but he was really good in Community.
The plot wasn't super interesting to me. And there's also just, like, the thing, or just a thought in the back of my head thinking, like, well, this doesn't really matter that much, because Han Solo's gonna do a bunch of stuff in the original trilogy, and then it'll close off in the sequel trilogy.
Yeah, that's always the problem with prequels, is you know what's going to happen eventually. So, unless you're, like, really interested in how they got to be that way, I don't know. Prequels aren't as interesting to me for that reason, because, you know, the fate's already kind of decided. Although...
Yeah.
I do kind of appreciate that they're willing to do a movie that's just for fun, you know? It doesn't have to be, like, really important. It's just a fun movie. So, for that reason, I think I might enjoy it.
Throughout the fight scenes, I was like, but Han Solo can't die. Like, Lando can't die either. It's just...
I think... No, he
can't die.
There's no what they call stakes. People who write movies call it the stakes. So the stakes are high or the stakes are low. In that movie, the stakes are really low because you know, like, nothing, he can never get killed, right?
Yeah.
Like, even if he's in mortal danger, you know he's not going to die because there's, like, you know exactly how he dies and when he dies, and it's a long time from now.
There's also a love interest in Han Solo, which you definitely know that that's pointless because Leia.
Right. Yep.
Also, you said earlier that we should rank it, and I think out of all the ones I've seen, I'm going to rank it as the worst, but I feel like if I saw the prequels, then it wouldn't be the worst.
But I would
That's
say
fair.
It
That's
is
fair.
Worth watching. There are some, even though there's a lot of it that I didn't like that much, there are some really good scenes that I can't really just not mention. Overall, I think I might give it like a 6 out of 10, maybe? Maybe 6.5.
I think I probably want to see it. I don't know when I'll see it, though. Like, it might be like when you guys see it on, you know, on TV.
It's worth watching, just because there's some really good scenes. But just overall, I kind of zoned out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So we're now, because it was Memorial Day this week, now it's officially summer movie season. And I feel like there's two big summer movies that you've already seen, because Infinity War and Solo both seem like summer movies to me.
Yeah.
There's only really two summer movies I'm looking forward to. I don't know about you guys. Maybe there are other movies that I just don't know about. But there's two big movies I'm looking forward to. One is Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yay!
And that looks like a lot of fun. I've heard some people say that they're not looking forward to it because they know that it will have nothing to do with Infinity War. But I don't really care about that. Like, it can still be fun and have nothing to do with Infinity War.
Yeah,
also, he wasn't in Infinity War, so any character could die.
Yeah, anything could happen, really.
Marvel movies don't have to be part of a progressing plot. Like, really, Black Panther. I mean, it may have set up for Black Panther 2, supposedly, but it was pretty much just a good movie.
Yeah, and I think the first Ant-Man, especially, probably was less to do with the big Marvel universe than most other movies. It was fun all by itself, you know?
It definitely felt like a Marvel movie, but I feel like with Ant-Man was, like, surprisingly good for a lot of people, because they're like, oh, they made an Ant-Man movie. They're sort of running out of ideas, yeah. But it'll probably be popular.
Well, it was really entertaining, and it had a lot of, like, visual gags and stuff, and I think the next one will, too, just based on the trailer.
Yeah.
And then what's the second
movie? And I'm excited
movie?
About the Wasp character, too.
She looks cool.
The actress who plays it, Evangeline Lilly, she was one of the main characters in the TV show Lost, and she's a really good actress. I like her a lot.
And now it's time to talk about the villain, because the villain is cool.
Who is the villain? I don't know who the villain is. Ant-Man
her name
Lost.
Is Ghost, I
oh,
think.
Oh, she looks cool.
Yeah, she is. According to the trailer, she stole some tech from the original Ant-Man and can now go through walls.
Yeah, she has, like, this white hoodie and, like, a white mask with, like, a bunch of different red eyes on it. And she can, like, walk through walls and do a bunch of stuff. She looks really cool.
Yeah.
And she can, like, shake her hands. I think they do a lot of really cool, like, storyboarding and visual things with the whole, like, shrinking and growing ideas.
Yeah, and actually, I just realized, looking at the trailer, when Ghost's, like, going through walls, she has this, like, trail behind her. Like, sort of like when Ant-Man and the Wasp are shrinking. And, like, do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
I just Googled, like, Ant-Man and the Wasp villain. And it says that Ghost is a terrifying new adversary from the quantum realm. Hank Pym opened up the quantum realm to go looking for his wife, but then Ghost appeared. It's a crazy, creepy ghost who walks through walls.
I think it's slightly different in the movie version.
Who's the actress who plays her? That's what I'm wondering.
I don't know.
I don't know, but
she doesn't really show her face.
I'm curious.
Reminded me vaguely.
So I'm going to keep Googling here.
Reminded me vaguely of the actor Cecile from The Flash, but I only saw one shot of her, so.
Of the ghost?
Mm-hmm.
But
it looks like a cool
ghost
villain.
Doesn't have a face that we've seen.
Well, there's just like one shot of it in the trailer too.
I think it might be Michelle Pfeiffer, who's an actress that I really liked when I was your age.
Wait, can I see?
I see. I'm looking.
I feel like Marvel villains are progressively getting better and better. Like in the first like 5 or 7 movies, they kind of seemed like all the same villains, but now there's villains like Claw or Killmonger or Vulture that are like really cool and have like kind of a lot of depth.
Yeah, they have more depth, sort of like Thanos. Like
no,
they
no,
have
it's
good
not. It's,
motives.
It's an actress named Hannah John Kamen. The movie she's best known for is Ready Player One, but she's a relatively unknown actress. I think Ready Player One was her first big movie, and now she's in Ant-Man and the Wasp. Interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, that sounds really cool, but what's the second
movie
you're excited for?
The second movie I'm interested in is Incredibles 2.
Incredibles 2 also looks good.
Have you guys seen Incredibles?
Great.
Yeah,
remember it that well, so I might have to rewatch
it. You should watch it again. It's a really good movie, and I think Incredibles 2 looks maybe even better.
Yeah,
it looks like they kept a lot of the same vibe of the original movie.
I love how they like waited to release Incredibles 2 until superhero movies kind of hit their peak.
Yeah.
So
looks like it's kind of got the same kind of look and feel of the original movie, which was really good.
There's this one shot.
So I'm looking forward to that.
There's this one shot where they like run through like an infinite gateway of portals. And that has to be a portal reference. Because that's like something that people play around with in the game Portal.
Yeah, maybe.
And Portal and Portal 2 are like my favorite games ever, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just looks really good. And looking at the trailer, like, thinking back on the trailer, it looks like it's gonna have a lot of, like, Jack-Jack's gonna have a huge role in it.
Yeah, because Jack-Jack was just a baby in the original one, and for most of the movie, you don't even know if he has superpowers or not until the very end. But this one, it looks like he's got all kinds of crazy powers.
Yeah,
I remember watching the short Jack-Jack Attack. That was kind of like bonus content.
Well, I think that came out after The Incredibles. It was like the short for another Pixar movie, if I remember right.
I think it came...
I think it came with
the DVD.
Well, I think they put it on the DVD, but I think it wasn't out when the original Incredibles movie came out.
Do we have the DVD?
If that makes sense. I think we do somewhere, yeah.
Yeah, I remember watching it on like car trips when I was little.
We should watch it.
Yeah.
And it was also like one of the very first movies that Michael Giacchino did the soundtrack to.
Michael Giacchino is amazing.
And he's great. I mean, since then, he's done so many movies. But, his soundtrack for The Incredibles was fantastic.
For those of you who don't know, he does like soundtrack for the Marvel movies, which are just amazing. And now he's doing the soundtrack for some Nintendo Switch games. He's basically the new John Williams.
He does a lot of stuff. He did Coco, and he's done a lot of Pixar movies and a lot of Disney movies.
He did Coco?
And a lot of action movies. Uh-huh. Yeah, he didn't do the songs, but he did, like, the score. You know the difference between the songs and the score?
No.
So the score is, like, the music that plays behind the movie.
Oh,
and then the
okay.
songs would be, like, when the character sings the song.
It's, that makes sense.
Yeah. So he does a lot of scoring of movies.
He's, like... the descendant of John Williams, basically.
He started out doing video games, actually.
That makes sense, honestly.
He was a video game, and then like J.J. Abrams saw him, like really liked some of his work on video games, and brought him in to do like soundtrack for Lost, the TV show.
Wait, J.J. Abrams made Lost also?
Wait,
yeah, J.J.
Abrams.
Everyone
made Lost. Why is everyone connected to Lost?
Lost was a pretty important TV show at the time.
Okay, apparently J.J. Abrams also made, what's it called?
He did the original, he did like the reboot of Star Trek.
And, yeah, he made Cloverfield, which,
he did Cloverfield movies, yeah.
Yeah, apparently Cloverfield was part of this giant ARG.
Cloverfield is like this extended universe all on its own right now.
Yeah, and apparently so is Super 8. I don't know.
What's Super 8?
Yeah, he did Super 8.
I haven't seen either of the movies.
What's Super 8?
Super 8. I think you guys would like Super 8. That's a movie you guys could watch this summer, maybe. Mm. It's a movie about like these kids who think there might be an alien.
He seems
and they
like
go and investigate it and have adventures.
He seems like a good director. Even though I haven't seen any of his movies. I mean, I've seen The Force Awakens, but he seems like a pretty good director.
Yeah, he is a good director.
And apparently he was directing the Portal movies, which have been confirmed to exist.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That sounds right. Let's see, a couple of other updates. On the last podcast, if you suffered through it, one of the things that you heard was Phoebe complaining that she probably wouldn't do very good at solo ensemble. So I wanted to give you a little bit of an update on that, because she actually did really well. She got a 1 on her... on her choir solo.
Which is the high...
Which, so 1 superior, that's the best rating you can get. And she really... that really surprised her. She didn't think that she would get a 1. I heard it and I thought she did really well, but she didn't think she did very well. But she ended up getting a 1, which was great. First time she's got a 1 at state. And for her ensemble, so it was a quintet, a string quintet, they got a 2. But the 2 was really good because that judge was a really hard judger. And a lot of the other people that... that had that judge got 3s.
And this was at state, and there are only a couple other people that got 1.
And 1 is superior, and a 2 is what? Excellent?
Excellent. It's a superior, excellent, average, and then below average. A 1
so
is
I know Phoebe will probably talk about it next time she's on the podcast, but I wanted to give the update so that anyone who was listening and talking about how, when she was talking about how horrible she was going to do, and just let you know that she did okay.
I feel like that's all musicians, though. Like, all musicians are always like, oh, we did horribly. Or like, we did so bad at that.
Yeah, I think you notice every mistake you make, right?
Yeah, like last year our orchestra UIL, when we got back from there, the people holding the door open for us told us that was the best performance it's had all day, and the judges had like no negative comments, and there were still 8th graders being like, oh, we did so bad, we suck.
Yeah.
Were you one of those 8th graders?
I was in 7th grade at the time, but...
Couple other things I want to talk about. Today we're recording this on the eve of the last day of school, and I know you guys are really, really sad.
No, I'm not. At all. I mean, the teachers are really nice, but...
Okay, you know what I am really sad about?
The teachers are super nice, but other than that...
I'm really sad about not being able to be in multimedia or video production anymore.
They don't have that in high school?
I mean, they do,
but... So you're not going to be in middle school anymore. You're going to be in high school.
Yeah, I feel like...
Phoebe and Elizabeth will both be in college. You'll be in high school, and Henry will be our only kid in middle school.
I feel like... This is going to sound crazy, but I feel like I kind of, like, walked into 8th grade and then, like, walked out of it a different person. Like, I don't know if that's, like, something that a lot of other people experience.
Because you procrastinated less when you walked out.
Well, I just learned to, like, I don't know, I just improved. I learned how to not procrastinate, I learned how to get good grades, and just a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah. I think, like, at your age, you change a lot in a short period of time. When you get to be my age, I don't really change that much.
Yeah.
When we started this podcast, we had one kid in college, one in high school, one in middle school, and one in elementary school.
I've noticed there's all these...
And now we'll have two in college, one in high school, and one in middle school. What's going to happen tomorrow at the last day of school? You guys don't have any homework tonight, do you?
Yeah, no, so there's going
to
be a...
You brought home your backpacks, and so you don't have anything to bring back to school.
Yeah, there's going to be like a mini ceremony, which apparently getting an award at that. I don't know what it is, apparently I am. There's going to be a like field day from like the morning
like
to 12 o'clock.
Middle school graduation ceremony?
I actually have my field day yesterday.
What time is that ceremony?
Well, actually, there's already a ceremony. There's already a ceremony. I think there's just like an award thing.
Oh, yeah? What is that?
I don't know. I can figure out more about that. But there was a... Like, award... There was a ceremony that also gave out awards yesterday, I think. Or maybe it was the day before that, where our orchestra got to play the prelude music. So that was
fun. What about you, Henry? Do you know what you're going to be doing tomorrow?
Lying around, doing nothing, presenting a few things,
Presenting?
Yeah.
What are you going to present?
Some projects. One of them's not great, and it's only if people want to do it. It's like a family tree thing. And I don't know the names or birthdays of a lot of people in our family tree, so I'm not doing that.
Oh, yeah.
The last 2 days of school are so fun. There's so many kids that, like, are doing things that just, like, go to show how much they don't care about school anymore.
Have you guys had field day yet?
I'm going to have it. So there's a day where 6th graders have it, a day where 7th graders have it, and then tomorrow we're all have it.
Okay, so 8th graders, including you, will have field day tomorrow?
Yeah, it's shorter this time, so...
It's going to be really hot. Is there going to be water involved?
Yeah.
I noticed there's been a lot of... Our classes have been significantly smaller the last couple of days.
It's graditis.
I think it's a pretty obvious reason why.
It's graditis.
Yeah, it's graditis is... a mental condition that I've come up with through intense psychological studies, which is where you feel that you're like, 8th grade grades don't actually matter. So then you just, like, get, like, C's in all your classes. And
you know why it does matter, though? It matters because your habits that you have now, you're going to bring with you to high school.
Exactly. Everyone's
it
like,
doesn't
yes,
matter because
there,
of that.
There's someone who writes about this, like, well, you see, I'm like a light switch. Like, if you turn me on one mode, then I can work hard. So I'm just going to work hard in high school.
Yeah. Yeah, there's kids that'll say, like, oh, yeah, I'll just start working hard in high
school. I don't think kids are like light
switches. Yeah. No, they aren't. I kind of realized that, like, getting your grades does take practice. And, like, you do kind of have to develop it over time.
So, what about summer plans? What do you guys have going for the summer? I think I might have talked to you guys about this last time you were on the podcast, but anything going on in the summer?
I want to work on my Scratch project, my programming game, which I think I'll release in, like, parts. And then I think I might export it and then just, like, give the file to my friends.
It's a game that you're programming on a platform called Scratch.
Mm-hmm. It's a pretty mild... computer programming platform, but I think I'll just, like, export it into a file and then just give that file to any friends who want to play it.
Yeah.
And I think me and Henry have started making a plot diagram for a comic that Henry's going to write and I'm going to illustrate.
Yeah, it's called Night Owl. It's about my own, like, superhero that I made.
Yeah. And I'm working on a comic called Striker, which has Night Owl as a side character in it.
Yeah.
So we're going to work on a lot of comics.
I like so you guys will have your own comic book universe.
Yeah, basically Will, with my character, is just like, yeah, I need an extra character. Could I borrow your character?
Anything, any other plans you have? And I'm not talking about, like, you know, things you're going to do necessarily, but, like, what's your plan for, like, are you going to sleep in the summertime?
Yes.
Early? You will sleep in.
Oh, my gosh. You don't know what it's like to legitimately be tired until you've been in middle school.
Or
like, this entire year I've been constantly tired.
How late are you going to sleep, though? Like, what time do you think you'll get up during the summer?
I think I've decided that, like, 8 o'clock is the best time to get up.
That's pretty good, yeah. Because if you sleep in too long, then it just makes you drowsy.
I know, and then you miss so much of the day.
Yeah.
And it's so pointless.
But sleep until 8, that's not bad.
I've got an idea. We could just over summer, like, have, like, a 3-month coma. There we go.
But then, yeah, summer is basically just a 3-month coma where you're just, like, I don't know.
And then, did you have one more thing to say?
No.
One last thing I want to talk about before we get on to the news. We have a new neighbor that lives on our back porch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we do.
Mom noticed it the other day when she was out there cleaning windows and kind of cleaning our back porch. Anybody want to tell us who it is?
So, a dove.
Yeah, I was on my...
It's a bird.
And it's super cute. Like, it was just like... stare down at you and just be like, hello there.
We'll just stare
down. So we got these outdoor speakers that I installed when we moved in, but we don't really use them that much. And they're kind of in the corners of our porch. And a bird has built a nest right on top of that speaker. And I think that she must have eggs in the nest because she never leaves the nest.
Yeah.
She just kind of looks at you. When you go out there, she just looks at you.
It's really cute. She'll just like... happily stare at you the entire time.
Yeah, it's a good thing that it's a dove and not a mockingbird, because if it was a mockingbird, it'd probably be dive bombing us.
Yeah, we were joking about that on the family podcast.
Yeah, we told on the podcast like about a year ago when Maisie was in a war with the mockingbirds. Mockingbirds are very territorial. Doves, as you might expect, are more peaceful.
Yeah, it was Maisie.
They're a symbol of peace.
Maisie v. Mockingbird, Lawn of Justice.
Yeah.
That was a good pun, by the way.
That was great.
It was very good.
Hey, high five.
Well done.
Thank you.
But this is a dove, and it's right outside. So if you go under our back porch and look, kind of turn left, it's right up there. And it will just kind of look at you. And
I was out there
this morning kind of looking for a wasp's nest to spray, and I was talking to it, and I think it might have chirped at me once, but it didn't leave the nest.
Hey, I can whistle like a bird, so I can communicate.
Yeah, I think...
Do you know bird language? Do you know how to say things?
Okay, seeing an active bird nest...
Mean? I don't know.
Never know.
Seeing an active bird nest is like... just like seeing nature and its... beauty, but seeing an active wasp nest is the most terrifying thing I have ever seen in
very
my
true
short,
it's even
life.
Worse when you know that you're allergic to wasp beings like me, and you've been stung twice on your arm and it hurt a ton like me.
A couple weeks ago I saw
what about an ant man in the wasp nest.
Ant hills are kind of cool to watch.
Yeah,
but seeing a couple weeks ago I saw a wasp nest that was active and had multiple wasps swarming around it. I think it was like gale jackets or something. And
yeah,
Dad went and sprayed it.
That one.
Which was like super brave.
It was right by our, it's not that brave. Because the spray, like you can stand about 10 feet away and spray it, so it's no big deal. But it was right by our garage, so it's a good thing you saw it, or one of us would have like walked out of the garage and got stung.
Ugh, wasps freak me out. Today,
a few years ago, we had a wasp nest like right under the handle of our gate, and I went to open the gate and got stung because there was a wasp nest like right there.
Just
wait,
like an
you
hour
got
ago?
Stung?
I did.
How much did it hurt?
Actually, it wasn't that bad.
Just like an hour
okay,
ago?
It must have been like a yellow jacket, because yellow jackets hurt less because they have less poison.
Just an hour ago, I was in Mom's room doing laundry, and I didn't see a yellow jacket swarming around, but I looked near the window and saw what I thought was a fly on the ground. Turns out it was a dead wasp.
Yellow jacket.
It was a dead yellow jacket on the ground, and I was afraid that it was just stunned and that it would get up, and it was the second most terrifying thing I've ever seen.
It seems like I've heard that even if you can step on a bee that's dead and still get stung. I don't know if that's true, though.
But
well,
sounds
because
right.
When they sing you, they're dead. So
well,
that, that's actually why
after
wasps...
they sting you, actually. Bees do.
Because they're like...
Well, yeah,
usually
but...
the stinger comes out with, like, their guts.
Well, yeah, because...
But I think wasps and yellow jackets can sting you multiple
no, they...
times.
That's because they bite.
Yeah.
No, they sting.
They bite. That's why they don't die.
Bees are kind of think
no,
of...
I think wasps sting.
Kind of
think
of it. Worker bees
are
kind of a...
All right, we'll ask Alexa. Alexa, do wasps sting?
I don't know that one.
Come to think
she's
of it.
She's not very helpful. Alexa, does a yellow jacket sting?
Sorry, I don't know that.
Oh, she's
Alexa,
useless.
Alexa, do wasps bite?
I don't know that one.
All right, let's see if Google can do better. Give me a second, I'll hook up my phone.
But come to think of it, bees are kind of like these, like, war heroes. Since, like, they sacrifice themselves to save their hive, and they'll, like, go out of their hive and swarm around humans.
Alright, I'm gonna see if Google can do it.
Let's go.
Do wasps sting? It says, wasps, like bees and hornets, are equipped with a stinger as a means of self-defense. While a bee can only sting once because its stinger becomes stuck in the skin of its victim, a wasp can sting more than once during an attack. Wasp stingers remain intact.
Okay,
so
now look up if they bite.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'll try it. Wait. Do wasps bite? The stingers are actually used for eating as well, as wasps paralyze their prey. First, it means that the stinger does not come out when the wasp stings you. They can sting you multiple times. It also means that the wasp stings you and injects venom, which can cause significant pain and irritation to your skin.
That's not a no.
All right, I'm looking. The question is, do wasps bite or sting? And it says that they sting.
Wait.
Yep. Bumblebees can sting multiple times.
So, Henry?
Well... Bumblebees don't usually sting, so no, they can't sting more than once. They just don't sting.
Well, they sting...
So, Henry, I'm afraid...
Bumblebees have the ability to sting multiple times, but honeybee is the common one.
Henry, I'm afraid the answer is... They don't bite, they sting.
I don't know. This is just a random thought I had, but, like, termite mounts, ants, and wasps, and bees, I kind of like thinking about them, just thinking about how they have their own, like, mini-society... And, like, they have
yes.
a queen, and
there's,
they have a monarchy.
Yeah, social animals. That's pretty weird when you think about it.
Yeah, like, actually...
It's also weird that, like, bees can actually do this little dance and communicate, like, where the flowers are to go
yeah,
get the pollen.
It's yeah,
amazing.
That's weird.
I've heard some people say that, like... I read in a book about how bees probably know that the Earth is round just because of how they or how they travel.
That's really weird to think about.
I don't know. Bees...
You're going to make my head explode.
Wait. So... You're saying that bees are smarter than flat earthers.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, you're totally right.
All right.
You like jazz?
Let's do some news.
Now your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
All right. Have you guys ever heard me talk about how certain fruit in Japan sells for a ridiculously high amount of money?
Oh no.
Oh, no.
Certain fruit can be extremely expensive.
It's
going to
be like $1 million.
Like,
it's going
to
be
if you go to Japan, if you ever have a chance to go to Japan and you go to the basement of a department store, that's where they sell food. And sometimes they'll sell things like when we were in Japan, we were looking, there would be like one strawberry would be like $5. It'd be like a perfect strawberry for $5.
That's weird.
And there's the most, you know what the most prized fruit in Japan is?
Melon.
Yes. Henry, you are correct. It is a melon.
I'm finally correct.
And the best place to grow melons in Japan is a town called Yubari, which is in Hokkaido, the northern island of Japan. It's kind of a northern city in the northern island. Best prized melons in Japan. Yubari is the place where they grow these really expensive melons. Well, now there is a new world record for the most ever paid for 2 Yubari melons.
Oh, boy.
It set a record. Do you guys want to guess?
$1 million.
How much? No.
$10,000?
No.
$100,000.
All right, do you want to know if you're high or low?
Yeah.
$10,000.
It is higher than $10,000.
$100,000.
It is lower than 100,000.
50,000.
Five, or yeah, 50,000.
It is lower than 50,000.
30,000.
25,000.
Henry, or William, guessed it. $30,000 for two melons. Two Yubari melons were sold in Sapporo at auction for the equivalent of $29,436.80. The previous record was only $13,798. The winning bidder was named Shinya Noda, and he is the president of a fruit and vegetable packing company, and said he wanted to make a large gesture to celebrate the 20th anniversary of his company. He wanted to make a record-setting bid, he told the newspaper. Noda said the melons will go on display until the end of the month, when they will be cut up and distributed as free samples to market customers.
Free samples?
Yeah, he's just going to give them away for free.
That's awesome.
Would you like to taste a melon that cost $15,000?
Yes.
So these melons, they're like a green melon. Kind of like a honeydew melon.
Okay.
So
that makes it worth it.
Yeah, but it's kind of crazy because, like, in Japan, like, perfection is really valued.
Yeah.
So obviously people don't buy these melons just to eat them. Because this is unusual for a melon to be sold for tens of thousands of dollars. That's very unusual. But it's not that unusual for like one of these melons to sell for like $100. Like if you go to a department store, you can buy a melon for $100. And
but
obviously
here,
you're not gonna buy a $100 melon and just take it home and eat it with a spoon. It's like something you would give as a very valuable gift. So if you wanted to give someone a really valuable gift, you would buy them a perfect melon, and then they would appreciate it as like, wow, you really spent a lot of money on this wonderful gift.
I do feel like honeydew melon is one of those fruits that's like only good when it's perfectly ripe.
So it's like a luxury good.
Yeah, it's like a Rolex where it's not actually to tell the time.
Right.
Rolexes aren't to tell the time. They show how wealthy you are.
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly what it is. So it's like a status thing. That you care about someone enough to give them a gift that is like really, really expensive. And usually it's for gift giving. But this guy who bought it, he did it because he wanted to celebrate the 20th anniversary of his company and do it in a big way. And so like, I'm sure he got a lot of publicity for his company because he set a world record for the most money ever spent on two melons. $30,000 for two melons. Crazy, right?
$15,000 for each melon.
Yeah, pretty crazy. All right. Who wants to do their story?
I'll do mine. You can
let's
do yours.
Do William's first, then let's save yours for last.
Okay. School district mulling homework ban proposal from students. So basically, a school district is considering a proposal from two fifth graders to get rid of homework. Fifth graders.
Where is the school district?
Outside of New York City.
Okay.
So up in New York somewhere. It's two fifth graders who came up with a great idea. Ban homework.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I feel like everyone would. Once someone made a joke contract and it said students should be paid for each period for $20.
All right, let's hear about this. Like, what was their argument that we should do away with homework?
So, it says that it was due to stress from homework, which...
Fifth graders don't know that yet.
Maybe they are, like, unusually stressed. But I feel like, no offense to fifth graders who are listening, but are fifth graders really capable of,
stress?
I think you guys both persuading... had homework when you were in fifth grade, though.
I know, but, like, are they really capable of persuading superintendents like that?
Well, it sounds like the school district's actually kind of taking them seriously and thinking about what to do about homework.
Yeah. So yeah, it says Assistant Superintendent Chris Felicio said Wednesday that officials are trying to rethink homework to make it more beneficial for students. The district is considering several options, one of which would allow parents to ask for homework for their children. School officials hope to have a new homework policy ready to go for the next school year. So yeah, I think the thing about homework is it's easy to complain about, but I have noticed sometimes like, you know, I didn't really understand this concept until I got, like, five different pieces of homework about it.
Here's the thing, though. I will say this. I hate homework a lot more now than I did when I was a kid. And here's why. Because I see you kids, like, obviously I had homework growing up, but it seems like you have way more homework.
Yeah.
And sometimes I kind of question, like, should you have as much homework as you do? Like, especially when it's, like, a whole bunch of homework from a whole bunch of classes all on the same day that all has to get done.
Yeah.
And when you have to stay up to like, 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock at night.
It's happened.
I just wonder, like, is all that homework necessary or is it too much?
Our science teacher is really nice, but she...
She likes grading.
Yesterday she gave us two different assignments that were due the day after that day. And this was... right now we're not even allowed to go to our lockers. And we cleaned out our locker today. And we weren't supposed to bring our backpack today. So that's...
But you still had homework.
She's kind of infamous for giving way too much homework.
So yeah. You still had homework, really nice, didn't but... you?
Yeah, and I'm not saying that teachers aren't nice. But I think sometimes they need to think a little bit about... Is it really worth it to give this much homework? Because sometimes it doesn't even, like, sometimes you're right, like in topics like math and stuff, you need to practice it to get good at it.
Yeah.
But other times it's just like busy work. It's just like big long worksheets that have to be filled out that don't really teach you that much.
See, what my 7th grade science teacher, who is like my favorite teacher ever, she's like never gets mad at all, would just give us a science review and say that it's up to us whether we should use it or not. And I think that's a good method, just letting the students decide, like, how they're going to handle time. Of course, they can't do this, like, entirely, the entire time, but I think it is good to let the students manage how they want to use their time.
So what do you think? Would you guys be in favor of a homework ban?
Depends.
Not
entirely.
Fully. Half.
Really? I'm surprised you guys are kind of debating it. I thought you'd just be like... Sure, absolutely.
I just don't think it's a one-way argument. I think a little homework is okay, but it should be regular. Like, I feel like high school... Apparently college... Elizabeth has told me that college is much less stressful than high school, which is just absolutely ridiculous.
And people say that high school
is
like scary,
but
college
a lot more is expected of you just to do it on your own. Like, your professor is not going to ask you if you're doing the reading or doing homework. They'll just expect you to do it, and if you don't do it... You don't do it.
But that's
a
good way
to
manage it.
And a lot of times it's just based on, like, you show up for the test, and how you do on the test is how you do in the class. So, in college, you just expect to be more responsible for yourself.
High school, from what I've heard, is a never-ending downward spiral of terror. But...
Well, that's probably a pretty good place to leave it. Henry, you want to give us your story?
Okay. But anyways... Hello Kitties turns to beware of bobcats in Texas. I bet this happened a lot. Basically, this family, they went to a animal shelter, and they, after figuring out that their cute kittens with big blue eyes and stubby tails actually were bobcats, because here's how they figured out. They started, like, eating, I think it was formula bottles and repeatedly bit the hands that were trying to feed them.
Yeah.
And then they were like, wait a second. And they went
to the
shelter.
Where did they find these bobcats?
Actually, I'm about to get to that.
Okay.
And they said that they slept their kittens, and later they admitted that they had, like, cousins out in the country that found them and gave it to them.
You know,
they thought they were just some cats that were, like, out in the country. It turns out they were bobcats.
You know, this is very...
And they were wild animals, and they bit them and scratched them.
This is very similar to the story about someone who had a bear cub as a pet.
Yeah,
it was a dog.
They thought that their puppy was a puppy, and it turned out to be a bear.
Yeah.
Yeah, they thought that these kittens were kittens, and they turned out to be bobcats.
This is a bit more understandable.
Kittens, they're bob kittens.
Since at least it's, like, the same... Like, genus?
Yeah, at least it's kind of cat, right?
Yeah.
It's just not a domestic cat, it's a bobcat, a wild cat. So what else can you tell us about these bob kitties? Can you call a bob kitty a bob kitty? I think you ought to be able to.
Yeah.
I mean, a bobcat cub?
A bobcat kitten?
I think it's a...
Is it a cub?
Bob kitten?
Maybe it is a cub. I don't know.
I think it might be a cub.
I
want to
call
bob
kitten.
Bob kitty. Yeah, but anyways... They actually would have been... charged fines if they actually had known that was a bobcat, So lucky for
them. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because you're not supposed to mess with wild animals?
Yeah, and illegal. There are a few quotes basically saying that they're trying to get them back into the wild and trying to find their mothers so that... And they're trying to use as minimal contact as possible because, like, so that they don't, like, die in pollution in cities.
Yeah.
Bobcats actually have this instinct to fear humans.
Yeah.
So they're trying to keep that.
A lot of wild animals have that, and that's important. Like, when a bear stops fearing humans, they have to kill it pretty much because it becomes very dangerous. Because when bears will hang around humans and they get used to humans, that's what makes it really dangerous.
Is it fair to say that animals probably should be scared of humans?
Yeah, because humans are dangerous.
Yeah.
Humans are probably the most dangerous animal out there.
Yeah, I was about to mention that.
I think humans
are... We're too smart.
It's not that they're smart. I think humans are just dangerously stupid.
That too.
I think it's both.
Yeah.
What else can you tell us, Henry? Did you notice where this took place?
Texas. Oh, San Antonio.
Yeah, San Antonio, Texas. But we have bobcats right around here in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
Could have happened here.
There's kind of like a family of bobcats that are learning how to climb fences, which is kind of scary.
Yeah.
Anything else?
That's it, basically.
All right, so I think the big message from the article was, even though wild animals might look really cute, they're wild
animals.
Like, you really need to let them be wild animals.
Yeah, and it says, like, some quotes in the articles, like, don't mess with them, because even if you think they're in a bad situation, just messing with them will make it worse.
Yeah, that's true. And I think a lot of people see wild animals, and most baby animals are really cute. I don't know, it's something about baby animals. But wild animals do not make good pets. Only domestic animals make good pets. So leave wild animals alone. Try to do, you know...
I think baby bacteria is also really cute.
What's that?
I think baby bacteria is also really cute.
Probably.
But yeah,
probably bacteria mommies think that the baby bacteria is super cute.
I mean, if they're intelligent enough, probably.
Yeah.
But yeah, pets were kind of... like, trained for centuries to act more like humans and less like animals.
True.
So.
They've been bred to do that, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's do a segment we haven't done on the podcast for a little while. Let's do some either-or.
Oh, yeah, either-or.
I've got some either-ors. I don't think we've done any of these before. But I could be wrong. Let's start off right at the top. And so, everyone knows how this works, but in case, just by chance, anyone's listening to... either or for the first time, here's how it works. I give you two things, you pick one, and I tell you whether or not what you picked is the right answer or the wrong answer. It's very simple. All right, the first one is cantaloupe or honeydew? We're talking
honeydew.
About melons, obviously.
Oh, that's easy, honeydew.
A lot of people
disagree,
though.
You're right, I like cantaloupe. That's... cantaloupe can be really good, but honeydew tends to be really good.
Yeah,
okay,
like
especially
candy.
A really ripe one.
Also, a lot of people, like a surprising amount of people, think that it tastes bland.
If a honeydew is really, really good, you might pay $30,000.
Yeah, you have to get it to be like just right. Even their shell is amazing. Like the shell is more smooth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you both got that one right. All right, second one, slushy or popsicle?
Slushy, less messy.
Slushy. No, popsicle.
William. You are correct, Henry.
But think about it this way. With popsicles, your hands and face always get super sticky. And it's
they
so annoying.
They don't have to.
They always do,
to.
Though.
The problem
with popsicle stick. If you hold it by the stick,
then it melts down onto your hand. Always
you
happens.
You can eat a popsicle without it being messy.
And the problem with slushies is, like, you have, like, half of it, and it's really good, and the next half is just, like,
I'm not saying slushies are bad, but there's something about a popsicle on a hot day. It's really good.
Yeah, paletta.
Plus, yeah, if you have a paletta, which is, like, a Mexican popsicle.
That's not
popsicle,
that is ice cream.
It's kind of popsicle.
It's
really
ice cream.
It's really close to ice cream, but I think it's also a popsicle. All right, next one. Pangolin or armadillo?
Where are pangolins?
Do you know what a pangolin is? Or
no.
Is it a pangolin?
I think so.
Alexa, what's a pangolin?
Penguin is usually defined as short-legged flightless birds of cold southern, especially in Antarctic regions.
Stop.
Alexa.
Alexa, stop. What's a pangolin?
Alexa.
What's a pangolin?
Penguin is usually defined.
No.
Why?
Alexa, stop.
Ask Google.
All right, we're going to have to ask Google. Sometimes Alexa fails us and we have to go to Google.
Not sometimes, always.
Sometimes.
Failed us.
All right, pangolin is an animal. I believe they're in Southeast Asia. Here, I'll let Google explain. Oh, I like it when it explains it. All right, so a pangolin is an animal. This is from savepangolins.org. They kind of look like a pine cone.
Can I
show
you
some pictures? I think I've seen those before. They're kind of cute.
They're the ones that can roll around.
They're spelled P-A-N-G-O-L-I-N.
Are they the ones that...
show you some photos here.
Are they the ones that can crawl into balls and roll around?
Yeah, can they?
I don't know if they can crawl into balls and roll around, but they kind of look like... They kind of look like a cross between a penguin and an armadillo.
It's true.
They kind of look... They have armor that looks just like a pine cone.
I'm going to say pangolin.
Pangolin.
They're both really bizarre animals.
I think they're mainly from Asia and Southeast Asia. Like China. I want to make sure I'm getting the information right here, though, because this is really important to know this. They are scaly anteaters.
I'm going to say pangolin.
Pangolin.
They can also climb trees. There's one climbing a tree.
Fancy?
And when it climbs a tree, it really looks like a penguin. Or a penguin. It really looks like a pine cone.
Yeah, anteaters. Anteaters, porcupines.
It looks like they have them in Africa and Southeast Asia.
Oh.
And India.
I feel like anteaters and pangolins and armadillos are all really, really bizarre creatures.
They range in size from 30 to 100 centimeters. There are also a number of extinct species. So we talked about armadillos on the podcast a few podcasts ago. I think we even did some armadillo facts. But this either or is armadillos or pangolins.
Pangolins.
You are correct.
Yeah.
That is the right answer.
Armadillos.
They're a really cool animal. A lot of people don't know much about them, but I think they're... More people are learning about them. I think they can be some of the species are a little bit endangered, but they're a very cool creature, so look them up.
Armadillos are really weird, though. Like, they have scales, and they lay eggs, but they're still considered mammals.
It's odd.
And they also... Really? How many of them do they have?
Quadruplets.
They have identical quadruplets every time they have kids.
Yeah.
I was talking to Mom about this in the car.
Yeah. All right. Next, either or. Streetcar or monorail?
What's a monorail?
A monorail is like it's kind of like a train, but it goes on a rail. On one rail, it's usually elevated.
Oh, yeah. Like
back and forth on that.
Like the ones in
Disney World, they have some.
I was going to say in Portugal.
Do they have monorails? No, those are streetcars.
Oh, wait. I mean, like, the ones that, like, were attached to the rails?
I'll show you a picture of a monorail. Because I don't want you to not know what you're voting for here.
Yeah. Okay, so wait. So, streetcars aren't attached to a...
They're attached to a rail. They're like the things in Portugal, the trams.
Streetcars are, like, attached to wires. Usually electric.
Okay, so then what's the difference between them and monorails?
I'll show you some pictures here in just a second. It's being slow.
Oh, yeah.
There's a picture of a monorail.
That's kind of hard to say.
So monorails,
but only because of pickpocketers on trams.
I think I'm going to say monorail. Monorails, they're like sleeker.
You are correct. Monorail was the right answer. Streetcars are also very cool, but monorails...
Have us pick
part of what's cool about them is that there aren't very many monorails in the world, so they're much more rare. And then they're also cool because they're always up on a platform. The rail is always high in the air, so you always get a really good view.
Yeah, streetcars always make you nervous, though. I mean, a lot of things make me nervous, but...
They don't have to have pickpocketers. Not everyone does.
Yeah, but, like, I don't know, streetcars, just the way that they could... I know they probably couldn't, like, fall down that much, but they're, like, slanted a little, and it's...
They go up and down hills.
It's kind of weird. They make you nervous in the same way that, like, sky lifts.
All right, last either-or. Back scratch or shoulder rub?
Back scratch.
I'm going to say back scratch.
You guys did really well on this either-or. Back scratch is the right answer.
Did I get all the
there's
breath?
There's nothing better than scratching your back. Like having an itchy back and having someone scratch it really
it's
good
true.
For you.
It is more satisfying.
Shoulder rubs feel pretty good too, but I think I would rather have someone scratch my back.
Yeah.
There's something really satisfying about having your back scratched.
Did I get all of them right?
You did. I got one wrong.
I think you did. Did you say popsicle?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I did. Did you say honeydew? Did you say pangolin? Mm-hmm. Monorail and back scratch.
Mm-hmm. I said everything except.
Wow, impressive.
I said everything except for Slurpee. Actually, yeah, I got them all right. I got them all right because of Slurpee one.
And Henry, you got a B. That's still pretty
good. I got
good.
An A.
You got a B. You got 80%.
You got a B for.
On the either or.
You got a B for
keep
better
studying,
luck next
maybe
time.
Next time. All right, there's only one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is...
Three words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
All right, for treat yourself, we have two peanut butter-themed snacks.
Hope no one's allergic to peanut butter.
No one in our family is allergic to peanut butter, but if you are allergic to peanut butter, I will say, don't eat these snacks. What are you thinking? That's not even smart. I'm going to take some pictures of these things. Maybe I'll post it to social media. First one is Nutter Puffs. So Nutter Puffs are a puff snack made with real peanut butter. They are by the makers of Pop Chips. Have you ever had Pop Chips?
I think I have.
Yeah.
It's like
yeah,
a,
we have those.
Yeah, Pop Chips are good. I like Pop Chips. They're a little bit more healthy than potato chips.
It tastes like those rice.
Yeah, they're like
snacks.
A puffed rice snack. These are also puffed. What are they? Puffed corn, I guess. With peanut butter. And the ingredients are peanut butter, puffed yellow corn, and peanut flour. That's all that's in them. So, relatively healthy. They don't have a lot of additives to them. And then the next thing we're going to try is Reese's Outrageous stuffed with Reese's Pieces. So it's a Reese's Outrageous bar that also has little Reese's Pieces inside.
Oh, hey, I've seen those.
It looks pretty good. I've never had it before.
Have you had
it?
Sounds like the kind of thing that like 12 and 13 year olds would look.
Yeah, it does. It kind of seems like America.
Yeah.
You know? Like, give us more of this stuff.
This I feel like that kind of shows like what direction people are going in with candy. Like, double stuffed Oreos.
Downhill.
Not a bad way. It might be delicious.
Yeah,
so.
It could be
good.
We'll like,
it depends on whether you mean. If it's obesity, then it's going up. But if it's all logic, right. Then it's going down.
Let's take a couple of Nutter Puffs, and then I will mute the mics so we don't chew into the mics, and we will come back and let you know what we think of Pop Chips and Nutter Puffs. All right, guys, what do we think of Nutter Puffs?
Pretty disappointing.
Yeah, yes, they are. I think...
Not enough peanut butter.
That they are very...
Meh. M-E-H. Meh.
I agree. It's not that there's not enough peanut butter. It's just that peanut butter alone is a pretty bland taste.
There's not enough flavor.
Yeah.
I mean, they taste like natural peanut butter on a Cheeto with no cheese flavor, no saltiness.
For whatever reason, I expected it to be peanut butter chocolate.
And they make you super thirsty. Like, as soon as I put it in my mouth, I was like, ooh, I need, like, milk or water or something.
Yeah.
Did they make you super thirsty, too?
Yeah, it's like it's like a peanut butter chocolate flavor, but you take out the chocolate.
And they're not sweet at all because there's no sugar, which I suppose means they're, you know, better for you, but there's no sugar, no salt.
Maybe
they're very bland.
Maybe they're supposed to be savory.
They're very meh. Does anyone have a different rating for them?
Oklahoma, okay.
Henry is the only one who thinks that they are. Oklahoma, okay. All right, I suspect that this next one is going to be a bit different. William, you want to go get me a knife so I can cut this into little hunks?
Oh, I'm just getting it.
and we don't make a huge mess here. Also, maybe we can let Phoebe and Mom try it a little bit. This is a Reese's Outrageous with Reese's Pieces inside of it. I'm going to give everybody a little piece. A little bit messy here.
I do really like Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, so...
All right, muting the mics. What do we think of Reese's Outrageous stuff?
That's surprisingly good. Candy. That's surprisingly
it's
good.
It's really good, like...
Yum, 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 delicioso!
So good.
See, I had my doubts because I thought that would just be, like, just a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup with, like, small little chunks of Reese's Pieces. But it's more like... It's like a Reese's Pieces bar, basically.
I like the little crispiness inside it. I like the caramel. It's extremely sweet. It's very different from the Nutter Puffs we just tried. Yeah, it's milk, chocolate, peanut butter, and caramel, plus little Reese's Pieces.
Do you rate it delicious?
I think so. I mean, it's just pure, it's straight up candy.
Yeah.
Right?
That's...
I mean, it's peanut butter, it's caramel, it's chocolate. I think there's caramel in it. I just said that. So, you know, if I said it was anything other than delicious, I don't know. You'd have to just not like sweet things to not like it.
I've got an idea. Reese's and Oreo should team up so that there's Oreo-flavored Reese's Pieces and inside of a Reese's cup, inside of Oreo filling.
I wonder if they've done Reese's-flavored Oreos before.
They've done everything.
Yeah. Who knows? It seems like there are so many Oreos. We could do Treat Yourself about Oreos like at least once a month because they keep coming out with different flavors. I saw new ones in the store the other day. They were like cherry cola and some lemonade ones, I think.
Actually, haven't done that would be cool?
What's that?
Inverted Oreos.
I think they have done those, haven't they?
I actually have tried cherry cola Oreos.
But it's like where's the filling, then the cookie, then the filling.
Oh, I thought you meant just like the vanilla on the outside and chocolate on the inside.
I do really like cherry coke. Tastes like chopstick.
Yeah. Alright, so that is Treat Yourself, and that is our podcast. So thank you, William and Henry, for participating in the podcast tonight.
You're welcome. Follow us on Twitter.
Thank you, everyone who is listening. If you are listening, let us know. You can tweet us at TTD Podcast on Twitter. You can email us at talktothatpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us at talktothatpodcast on Instagram and Facebook and pretty much everywhere, including talktothatpodcast.com, where you can find all of our episodes to download or stream. If you want to help out the podcast, the best thing you can do is you can get on iTunes and give us a 5-star review. Anytime you subscribe, rate, or review us, it helps out the podcast. And this has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later. There's time for later, alligator, my friend.